So the expedition continues towards Bennington.
Yep, and imagine, they are now well into very hostile
enemy territory.
Here, Wasmus tells a story of a family trying to escape the British threat at this spot overlooking a small bridge.
So, this is about the same place.
At noon, we arrived at the Wolumsack Creek, just before the bridge across the river. We made our camp in the garden of two houses here. The inhabitants had loaded two wagons full of furniture and put six oxen to them. They were just about to depart and take flight in the wilderness, but now they had to unload. Our commander placed a guard in front of both houses so that nobody could take anything from them.
And Wasmus describes how events begin to speed up and unravel. It was here that one of the most revered of the Indians had ventured out ahead of the group, perhaps to take some booty, and was killed by the American rebels.
The savages were very grieved and sad about this incident. They made a kind of coffin, laid the dead man in it, and carried him to a grave 4 feet deep. Carrying his musket to the grave, a detachment of 16 dragoons from our detachment fired 3 volleys. The savages appeared to be very satisfied with that.
That was respectful.
Yes, but what it did was let the rebels think they were being attacked. It turns out that there was a large rebel force only half a mile ahead of them, tucked behind a small hill. They heard the gunshots and sent a small contingent of troops to attack Baum.
Ah, Baum had to avoid those flats across the river and stay in these hills or get hit by the enemy.
On the other side of the river stood another two houses, at which the savages, the Tories, and the Canadians had taken as their posts. On our left, we had a very high mountain, which extended quite far.
Right, so Baum ordered his men to an elevated position in these hills on the northwest side of the river, thinking that it would serve as a natural barrier. Wasmus climbed a hill with the dragoons.
And the rebels?
They attacked from the foot of the mountain. Baum's troops fired their cannons until the rebels retreated. By the end of the day, the rebels had confirmed the size and strength of Baum's force. And Baum's troops had learned something, too.
We have seen today how the enemy attacks. Either lying on the ground or standing behind trees, they load their guns and shoot. They run from one tree to another and then forward as circumstances demand. On our side, nothing was killed or wounded. But in this affair, the savages had 1 killed and 2 wounded. I bandaged one of them, who had a bullet in his arm. When I had to cut it out, the savage behaved rather shockingly, and if I had been alone with him, I believe he would have scalped me.
And Baum is starting to lose the Indians' commitment.
The savages were so enraged about their lost leader that they wanted to depart for Canada tonight. Perhaps they thought themselves rich enough, for they had collected much money among themselves, also stolen some, and sold many horses to officers in the army. Almost every one of them had a horse laden with all kinds of stolen goods.
And the morale is dropping. Listen to this.
Captain McKay was very dissatisfied that the enemy had not been attacked and pursued with vigor. "Now they will become bold," he said. "We leave them too much time, for they will gather by the thousands during the night. I cannot understand," he added, "how one can entrust a detachment to such a man as Lieutenant Colonel Baum, who has no military expertise at all."
Oh. So Baum's men are talking, questioning his leadership.